The United States has also imposed sanctions on Myanmar's generals. The action has been welcomed by the Myanmar community in the United States. Many of them escaped military rule in the past, and the current takeover has stirred up painful memories, as Nick Harper reports.
Democracy! Democracy!
Standing up for human rights in their homeland. This is one of multiple protests organised in the US since the coup, this one in Indianapolis. Student Sui Par helped to organise it.
Well, it's very emotional. I'm very frustrated with the situation. I just really hoped and prayed that the people in Myanmar are safe, especially my family. I think that's everyone's hope.
Many here, including Sui, have struggled to contact relatives and friends still back in Myanmar.
I am really angry, but all I can do right now is just to really play my part by spreading awareness and do what I can for my people.
The largest Burmese population outside of Myanmar is in the U.S. state of Indiana. Alai Savani established the Burmese American Community Institute there 10 years ago. The recent coup has brought back memories for many who, like him, fled Myanmar years before to escape military arrest.
We are shocked. And the Burmese here were sad. We feel that we have lost our future, the Burma future. So now, as a community here, we had to take some actions.
And so has the U.S. president.
The U.S. government is taking steps to prevent the generals from improperly having access to the $1 billion in Burmese government funds held in the United States. And today, I've approved a new executive order, enabling us to immediately sanction the military leaders who directed the coup, their business interests, as well as close family members.
The sanctions followed several U.S. government statements expressing deep concern. Some, though, had been urging a stronger response.
I think it's immensely important that the United States, which is, of course, a superpower on the global stage, that it takes a very strong position in opposition to the coup and for accountability for what has happened in terms of atrocities in Myanmar's past, that it links those two things together and says, we are a government that stands for human rights.
And so it remains a tense time, watching from afar, knowing many of their relatives remain in Myanmar with an uncertain future. Which is why many Burmese here also want the Biden administration to offer increased aid and assistance to civilians in the country, a combination of sanctions and support that they hope will return Myanmar to the democratic path they've seen it walk on in recent years. Nick Harper, CNA, Washington.
Dr. Michael Vatikiotis joins us now for a closer look. Dr. Vatikiotis, these are not the first sanctions on members of Myanmar's military. What impact can they have?
Well, I think the impact will ultimately be limited because the military for many years has suffered from, in Myanmar, from sanctions and has accustomed itself to dealing through informal channels. There's a huge conflict economy in Myanmar that lives off jade and narcotics, from which a great deal of income is derived in the country. And so these formal sanctions on the military, I don't think will have much impact. The important thing, of course, is that many people were saying that it's the Myanmar people that are suffering, not just because of the coup, but because of the COVID pandemic. And it's, you know, the levels of poverty and unemployment have increased. And so it's important for the international community not to bring more suffering upon the Myanmar people themselves.
And what do you make of the protesters' attention shifting to the Chinese embassy now?
Well, there have been several reports, and one has to be really careful about this because there's a great deal of sort of disinformation and the potential for information wars over China's role or alleged support for the coup. And there were reports yesterday about aircraft arriving at the airport in Rangoon and possibly unloading equipment to contribute to the shutdown of the internet or interference with social media. This has not been confirmed. And I think one has to be really cautious about these reports. But there is a great deal of suspicion that China may be supportive of the military. I don't think that's necessarily the case. And from what we've seen of debate within China, there is a divided opinion on this. But nonetheless, I think there are concerns and suspicions about China's support for the current situation with the military takeover.
Well, meantime, there has been this new wave of arrests, and we do know that next week there's a potential court appearance by Aung San Suu Kyi as well. Do you think this is going to fuel more protests?
Well, on the one hand, it's good that she will be produced in court, and so people will see that she's okay. And I think for the international community, one of the biggest concerns has been whether or not she's been held safely and securely, and is she okay? And so producing her in court will, I think, on the one hand, provide a degree of assurance that she's okay. On the other hand, I think it will increase, and what we've seen consistently over the last 10 days is a buildup of popular anger on the streets of Rangoon. And I think we'll see more of this. The military has decided not to crack down immediately, hoping perhaps that the crowds will dissipate. But this, I think, will increase the passion and support for her.
And there is talk of a clampdown on the internet and communications. What role has social media played in this past week of demonstrations?
It's a very interesting question, Steve, because I think what's in a way, the ability and the availability of people to be on social media has in many ways had a reasonably calming effect, because it means that people can vent their frustrations, if you like, indoors without taking to the streets. And it's when the internet gets shut down that people feel the need to go out onto the streets and protest. And I think the government has also realized that shutting off the internet also shuts down the economy. I mean, the sheer fact is that ATM machines won't work without the internet. And so they need to keep the economy going and to keep livelihoods going, versus whether or not they shut down the internet to prevent organized protests. So it's a very, very difficult situation. And I think by and large, the internet is kept going. It's available. And I think people have used the internet very cleverly. They've used Thai SIM cards to get around the restrictions on Myanmar SIM cards. And I think the messages are coming out and people are posting very actively, and it's fueling the protests.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us this evening, Dr. Michael Vatia-Curtis from the Center of Humanitarian Dialogue.